Diehards, have you heard about our book club? The Sell or Die podcast is starting a book club, and you can be a part of it.
And you don't even have to know how to read, because you can get the audiobook.
Well,
our first great book.
Knowing how to read might help.
Our first great book is Stop Selling and Start Leading. How to Make Extraordinary Sales Happen by Jane Kouzes, Barry Posner, and Deb Calvert.
We interviewed the authors already. You can check it out at sellerdiepodcast.com. But now it's your turn to talk about the book. We're going to have a book club discussion live on Facebook, May 10th. All you need to do is follow me or Jeffrey and you'll find us live. Deb Calvert is joining us. There's a link to that in the show notes for a special offer to get the book at a 20% discount.
I'm going to tell you that we interviewed these guys already. It was a great interview. This is an extraordinary book by extraordinary authors that will help you make extraordinary sales. We'll see you on May the 10th.
Woo!
It's also the pre-book that you get when someone's going to have a public offering.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a red herring because there's red in there where they haven't finalized all the stuff.
Oh, no way.
Yep. Wow, I didn't know that.
Well,
man.
For those of you just joining us.
If you're playing Trivial Pursuit, then day is your day.
Bingo. Or if you're playing Jeopardy, I'm your clicker. Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Welcome to Sell or Die, Diehards. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling, and I'm joined by...
Hi, I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute, and this is Sell or Die.
A podcast that will teach you how to get on the road, kick yourself in the butt, and make a bunch of sales. And Jen...
Hell yeah.
This is a big day for us. This is a record-setting day. Our guest today for the fourth time is the great Jeb Blunt.
We have had no one else on this show before. Whoa, I love the applause. We haven't had anyone else on the show before who's been on four times. No. This is major.
He's in the podcast Hall of Fame
here. To come back once is pretty major. Come back twice is crazy big deal. But if you're coming back for the third time and it's your fourth time on our show, we must really like you.
Exactly.
Or
as
you're
much as he
us.
Likes bacon that's not quite cooked.
And he's not paying us.
Exactly. So Jeb Blunt will be here. We're going to talk about objections, which I actually refer to as sales barriers. Yes, Doug, you seem like you want to say something.
No, everybody wants to talk about objections.
Exactly. Yes.
That's right.
And because we're objecting to things besides sales calls. Everyone's objecting to someone in the opposite political party. Everyone's objecting to the lousy weather.
There's objections all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
people
yeah.
object
it's how
to
you
me.
Handle them. But we'll get into that soon.
And down here in the South, where we live in Charlotte, North Carolina, people object to Yankees.
What?
Not New York Yankees. I'm talking about just people in general who come from the
like
North.
Like me? Like I'm a Yankee?
Bingo.
Oh, that's BS. All right, Jeffrey, we have some really amazing, exciting things coming up.
Yeah?
Yeah. Should we do a rundown of them?
No. But I would like
we should keep it a secret for our diehards? Come on.
Listen, we have a book club that we have started, and this is the first episode, literally, of Stop Selling and Start Leading. We're going to have Deb Calvert on live, Facebook Live.
Yep, on May 10th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us on Facebook Live. You can also listen to the author interview that we did that aired a little while ago. Just search Sell or Die and search for the author interview on Stop Selling Start
And while
Leading.
You're searching for Sell or Die, why don't you subscribe? Go to Overcast and download the Overcast software mm-hmm. onto your iPhone and subscribe.
But you know, subscribe, like rate, and review. Come on, guys. We need your help. That's May 10th, the Facebook Live.
Yeah.
And then on May 17th and 18th, we're going to Des Moines,
Iowa.
That's
for those
right.
of you without a map.
That's right. And you'll be.
Or you're from New York City, which think everything is either Jersey or Florida.
It's not. Or LA.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so.
Or
May
you're
10th-
a farmer. And in Iowa, they are farmers.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
May 10th book club, May 17th, 18th, public seminar in Des Moines, where we'll be doing a live Sell or Die on stage.
Right,
that's
going to
be tons of fun.
That's
plus,
totally
you're going
cool.
to give it be giving a leadership seminar and a sales seminar, sales mastery seminar. And then you're doing the same thing in Charlotte, June 14th and 15th. And we'll be doing a Seller Die Live there together as well. It's going to be a ton of fun.
My goal for the seminar is when we do the podcast is we will bring you up from the audience, have you state an objection, and then we'll have a little conversation with you about what the heck it is, and then we'll send you back to your seat.
I like it.
With no prizes.
That's right. Well, the prize is we help you.
You get Jack.
Right. All you have to do.
Jack, by the way, if you're not from Philly, is half of a word. Go ahead. Thank you.
All you have to do is go to cgetamer.com/Des Moines or cgetamer.com/Charlotte to reserve your seat. Coming up, we have Jeb Blump, but before we get to Jeb, Doug, our amazing producer, was on Reddit and found this question from a salesperson, and we're going to try to help him out.
Yeah, I'm always scouring the reddit.com/r/sales site. A lot of interesting questions, a lot of people that need help, and that's what we're here to do here on Sell or Die. This question comes from Umyal2001.
There we go.
Umyal2001.
Yeah.
And the question is, I'm new to sales and just learning the ropes in the last couple of months. I'm cycling through a lot of leads in the day and mostly hitting VMs, but getting few connects.
That's voicemail, right? That's the abbreves.
Exactly.
I'm listening to all of my calls at the end of the day and realizing that these are my two biggest problems. Number one, I'm talking a lot on the calls, sometimes even when the prospect wants to talk. So how do you keep your antenna up and shut up? What do veterans do? What strategies have you adapted? So let's tackle that first, and then I'll get to his second challenge.
Or her.
Those millennials are always abbreviated. The first thing is the reality that this person listened to his or her recordings. That's huge. And that gave him or her the self-coaching that they needed to recognize there was a flaw. To recognize that there was an issue. How do you shut up? It's real easy. You ask questions rather than start talking. If you're talking too much, then stop talking and ask questions that will reveal customers' need to buy, want to buy, desire to buy, or motive to buy.
I also want to point out that they've likely read your book or one of your books or something from you, because antennas up is not a commonly used term, but it is a term that your mentor mentioned to you.
The late Earl Pertnoy.
And I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, totally cool. And what it means is you have to be paying attention all the time. And he or she was listening, paying attention, realizing that they weren't hitting their mark and wanted to do something better, therefore posted this question in the wild hope that Doug Branson would find their needle in a haystack and we would be spending some time on it.
When you're on a call, do you ever think to yourself, do you ever have sort of a self-count in your mind when you are talking about something that you need to talk about? Do you ever sort of time yourself and say, man, I've been talking for 15, 30 seconds now. I need to pitch to them.
I do. Because I've studied myself, I'm now able more so than just going back and listening to it, but to do it in the moment. It's a really hard thing to do in the moment. And I think that when you tag team sell with someone, like sometimes Jeffrey and I will be on a call together and I'll notice when he's talking too much and versus, you know, if I'm talking too much, it's much easier to notice when the other guy is talking too much. But if you're doing a Zoom call, I find you can see when someone is zoning out, and I prefer to do face-to-face video calls than actual telephone calls, because you can see when you start to lose their attention and you can immediately ask them a question to get things back on track. Whereas if you're just over the phone, you can't see that.
My feeling is for a seasoned salesperson, you list the questions that you want to ask and then you wait until they ask a question, because that becomes a buying signal, even if it's a barrier, even if it's a how much is it or, is this in stock? Anything that they would ask you would be considered a buying question, and that allows you to begin the selling process.
Yeah, and I agree with what you said earlier, Jeffrey, about asking more questions. You know, if this guy or gal is asking, what strategies have you adapted? Well, if you think you're talking over them or through them, then just shut up and ask a question.
All right, back to Umyal2001 here. The second challenge that they have is the use of filler words like, you know, like, etc., just using those too much. What do you guys do to minimize that?
So the first thing you do is you listen to yourself. So way to go, y'all, because you recorded
yourself
right
track.
And you listened to yourself and you identified that you had this issue. So that is awesome. The next thing I would recommend is go join a local Toastmasters. If you do that, they will call you out on every and you might even have another filler word that you're not even aware of. And they'll help you figure that out.
They are referred to as vocalized pauses. And the reason people put them in is because they're thinking rather than speaking. And they can't think fast enough to be able to make it happen. So they'll go, yeah, that's a real good question. And you have to eliminate that from your lexicon completely. There should be zero vocalized pauses in any talk that you give.
You know what's scary? I just saw that you wrote down join Toastmasters, but I didn't see that when I was saying it.
Got you.
Do you tend to see people who talk fast use more filler words? Like if you slow down, does that help eliminate some of those filler words?
I don't think so, Doug. I think that anybody who's not sure of themselves will, I don't know, let me think about, you know, it's almost like I have to think of the answer on the spot because I'm not really prepared to come into this.
So it's an indication of maybe a little lack of preparation.
Lack of preparation.
Or confidence.
And lack of confidence.
Or knowledge.
Yes, I agree.
Like they don't know and they're kind of fishing for it. And that's a person, when they do too many vocalized pauses, I lose confidence in them.
Mm-hmm.
So don't
And as a salesperson, you have to portray a ton of confidence in order for the prospect to have confidence in you.
Right. And y'all, whatever your name is, I would also not put any ums in there, no matter what you do, But look for a repeated phrase like, you know, mm-hmm. and eliminate
or like that. The word like. I see it all the time with like.
You might have a tick in your lexicon, and you want to get rid of that.
So. And pay attention to it in your normal interactions.
Yeah,
because your social interactions outside of your job are just as important in terms of eliminating those things. Because if you let them go there, they'll be let go.
Especially new phrases like whatever that put a person in a situation where they kind of seem immature about it. Yeah, whatever.
That's soft talk going back to our Mark England discussion. Go back and listen to that episode.
Yeah.
I've seen people use filler words more so in business, actually, than in their personal life. Because most of the time, if you're asking someone a question, what did you eat for lunch today? It's not like, I had a peanut butter jelly sandwich. You know, that's not how it goes. But it's more so in business conversation, I find.
Someone who never lacks for confidence is our guest today, Jeb Blunt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good transition, Doug.
Mr. Bacon, Mr. Augusta, Georgia, Mr. Sales EQ.
Jeb actually came here and recorded with us.
He
brought his wife.
Yep.
And his videographer's digital strategy person. And
his new book, Objections.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about that this morning because I have been literally focused on sales barriers since I began my sales career, because everyone's going to say, I want to think about it, or your price is too high, or I need to have a meeting about this with my partners or my goldfish or my whoever. And they delay. It's actually a stall, not an objection. Or there are things that just say, I'm not interested in you and I want to get rid of you. Especially I want to think about it. When someone says I want to think about it, it usually means your price is too high or get the hell out of here. Because it's definitely a no. So let's talk to Jeb about what he thinks about it and what we think about it. And hopefully you diehards out there will get a lesson that you can turn into money. Please help me welcome, for the fourth time, the great Jeb Blunt. The customer and you have just had a great conversation. And he or she, because you have to use both genders now. Somebody got thrown out of
getting into the show?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let's do a formal introduction.
Could we just say E? Like, instead of she or he, just E.
E. Oh, E.
Yeah, E would be the non-cool. Gender neutral.
I love that.
E.
Yeah.
I love that.
So E would say, I want to think about it. So Jeb Blunt and Jen Gluckow are here with me, Jeffrey Gittimer. How's that for introduction?
Okay.
And Jeb is the author of a bunch of books, but I think his opus is Sales EQ, but he has written Fanatical Prospecting and is about to write, or has finished writing, I Object, or Objections.
Objections, yes.
And Objections is printed by John Wiley and distributed by Amazon.com.
Basically.
Yeah. However, and Jenny.
Hey, we were just speaking of millennials, and one of our favorite millennials is on. So, hey, Zach Krupp, what's going
on? Oh, hey, Zach.
On?
Dude, he's in Illinois, but close to Iowa, so be careful. Isn't he like in Moline or something?
I don't know.
All right. So
it's close enough to be dangerous.
No, it's a different city. It's like Lincoln or something like that. I can't remember.
I was just ranked the number one most livable state in the country.
By who?
By people who live in Georgia.
It was. California's ranked last. I was just in Iowa. It was cold and I was snowing. I was
California
up there doing some sales.
California is going to be the Vegas Shore.
Alex is here. Anthony's here. Hey, guys. Doug.
Hello.
Hey, Doug. You're
Hello.
Right there, too.
Everyone's here.
Steve. Steve Bob. We got Carrie. Look at this. We have live viewers.
We have live
lives. Live audience for the Facebook
Live. The customer has just said, I want to think it over. And you, Mr. Salesperson, are going, in your mind, you're going, you bastard. But you're going, wow, that's great. I love when people say they want to think about it. That means they're really interested. I mean, you're not trying to get rid of me, are you? I have used that. I'm telling you, it is. No.
That takes them by surprise.
Well, that takes
that.
Balls.
But here's why. That. It does take balls. But it takes advantage of a basic human influence framework. People move towards things that move away from them. So when you say, you're not trying to get rid of me, and you do it like this, they move forward because they think you're going away. And they run away from things that chase them. So your natural inclination when they say I'm not interested is to argue them into believing they're interested. But since you can't argue another person into believing they're wrong, and you chase them away by pulling back and saying something that's
like,
funny.
Dude,
like
they're coming
that.
In.
Yeah.
Okay.
They move towards you. And that's what you want to do. What the thing about an objection is that you want to disrupt their pattern of moving away and get them to lean in. And that exactly what you just did, as funny as it was, even – we were just sitting here. We both went. That was kind of cool, you know?
Whoa. Okay, so hold on. You guys are about to get sales gold, objection gold right now. And the best thing you can do is share this out to your network so that other people can benefit from it too. So we want you to share and write in what the biggest objections you're getting are so that we can help overcome them.
Yeah.
Or prevent them.
Mm-hmm. And which is even better.
Yeah,
the best objection is when you don't get.
Listen, if you start your conversation with the customer by saying, you can tell me anything you want at the end of the sales conversation, except I want to think about it.
That's exactly right. And there's a difference between not having the objection, right? So getting rid of the objection to begin with and avoiding the objection. Avoiding objections is stupid.
Right. No, that it's been taught. It has been taught by old world salespeople that don't understand. They're the same people that teach find the pain.
Right.
Teach it not to answer the question.
That's right.
Yeah.
Such bullshit.
I want the objection on the table, but it would be better to prevent the objection because I did a very good job in the sales process.
You wrote a whole book on objections, so I imagine that. Oh, real life phones. Love it.
Yeah.
You wrote a whole book on objections, so I imagine that it would only be one page if it was just prevent them.
Well, the book itself begins with a basic premise.
Okay.
If you want something, you have to ask for it. I mean, that's the basic premise. You have to ask. And if you ask, you're going to get objections.
Yes.
Not all the time, but you're going to get objections. So we know those two things to be true. And if you're in sales, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Jen's mom. However, yeah. I believe that it's more powerful if the customer asks you. When could you get delivery?
There's no doubt.
When could I get started?
Absolutely.
I mean,
it's the best case.
Yeah.
It's the best case. But you still got to ask them for the meeting to begin with. You have to ask them for the micro commitments.
I like the guy that says, when can I get started? And he responds, well, I'm not done my pitch yet.
On the call we had upstairs, he said, can we get this by April? Our sales year starts April 1st. So can we get it like at the beginning of our new year? And I'm like,
Does a cat
of
have
course.
An
yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know that's a good sign.
But that's the thing about – what we have to think about – so somebody asked me, how do you write a whole book about objections? And honestly, I thought to myself the same thing. How can you write a whole book about objections? But when we think about objections, we're usually thinking about an objection like I'm not interested or what your price is too high or
right.
something like that.
My budget spent.
I look at objections in a completely different vein. There are four types of objections that people get in sales.
Okay.
They get objections to time, so prospecting objections. I ask you to meet with me. Now, that could be in person. It could be on the phone.
And I could give you an objection like I'm already satisfied with who I've got.
I'm busy.
I'm traveling.
Whatever. But those and those are categories. But the, how you handle a prospecting objection, a time objection, is different than how you handle a buying commitment objection. And that's another objection. So that's the I've given you a proposal, which is a written or verbal offer to buy, and you've given me an objection. It might be a question. It might be a negotiation. But to the salesperson, it seems like something that's in the way.
It's a block
of moving forward.
Right. I refer to them, by the way, as barriers.
They're barriers.
Yeah.
Now, in between, you have micro commitment objections.
Okay.
So if when we talk about asking, if you don't ask them to have the next meeting, to let you go on a tour of their facility, to let you take a look at their data and their numbers so that you can formulate a business case that gives them a reason to say, when can we get started? Would this be okay? A lot of times they'll get in the way of that, mostly because they don't feel value in it. So those are really low key, low risk objections, but they just don't see value in spending more time with you, usually because you're boring, because you spent the entire time talking. And then there are red herring objections, and red herring objections destroy salespeople. So they're at the beginning of a meeting, and they say, thank you very much, Mr. Gittimer, for spending 15 minutes with me today. My objective today is to do
– Move closer to the
move
mic.
Closer to the mic, because apparently I haven't learned that yet. And so thank you for – my objective is this. What would you like to have on the agenda as well? And you go, you know, the last time I did business with you bastards, you overcharged me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then off to the races a salesperson goes, dealing with that.
Right.
And they blow their entire sales meeting. And at the end of the meeting, they end up with, you know what, I'll send me your prices, I'll call you, versus being in emotional control, taking that, whatever that is, putting it aside, getting the person engaged, have the questions.
Actually making an appointment to get back to the person with whatever the red herring was.
Exactly.
Right, right.
But those four types of objections, prospecting
you
objections.
You know what a red herring is, by the way?
I do. It's a, it's, well, it was something that came from the Middle Ages. They would take dead fish and the hounds are running along, right?
Yeah.
And they would run the red herring across and the hounds would go and then it became – yeah, it's a literary device that says I'm taking you off the –
Well, I never knew
it's
that.
It's also the pre – book that you get when someone's going to have a public offering.
Mm-hmm.
They call it a red herring because there's red in there where they haven't finalized all the stuff.
Oh, no way.
Yep. Wow, I didn't know that.
Well,
man.
For
there
those
you
of you just
go.
Joining this, us.
If you're playing Trivial Pursuit, today is your day.
Bingo. Or if you're playing Jeopardy, I'm your clicker.
Okay, so for those of you just joining us, this is Sell or Die Podcast. We are recording live right now with Jeb Blunt. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here, Jeb. And I just want to shout out to a few people. Ken Wall says Jeb, and then three of my favorite peeps. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Ooh. Ron Goodwin, watching from under a snowbank in Boston. I'm glad you have power. Frank in Jacksonville, Florida. Cool, guys. This is awesome. So
is
make sure you share it out.
Is anybody from a foreign country? Is anybody from like... Texas or California?
Is it snowing in Jacksonville? That's what
I
want to know.
Exactly.
I sure hope not.
None of
so,
from Charlotte.
We're going to talk about objections, but I think it's fair to say that what from what Jeb has just described, everyone's had them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to get them. There's if you think about sales, I think we can be all agree that sales is different. It's situational. It's contextual. People who are in transactional are different than people who are in enterprise. But there's democracy in objections.
Yes.
Everybody gets them no matter where you are. Now, they come in different forms and they can come in different levels of harshness. Prospecting objections are going to be your harshest objections,
right?
Much more like rejection.
Sometimes you don't even hear an objection. You just hear a phone slamming down.
Yeah,
that would
exactly.
be that would be rejection.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got you.
Jeffrey, we have a lot of seller diehards who do international business.
And when you do business away from the United States of America, you got to be prepared because it's different cultures. That's why we've partnered with Dr. Greg Story. He is the president of Dale Carnegie Japan and the author of a new book called Japan Sales Mastery to help solve the mystery of making sales in Japan.
Yeah, and Dale Carnegie Training Japan is the leading soft skills training company in Japan, covering sales training, leadership, communication, and presentation skills.
Dr. Greg Story has been selling in Japan for the past 30 years, and now you can enjoy his daily articles on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.
Not only that, but every week he releases 3 podcasts on business. And on his YouTube, he broadcasts his cutting-edge Japan business show. Check the show notes for all the links.
So if you're doing any business in Japan and you don't really know what you're doing, then you need to get Japan Sales Mastery by Dr. Greg Story. He's the president of Dale Carnegie Training in Japan, and it's on Amazon.com, of course. And subscribe to his podcast, The Sales Japan Series. It's free wherever you get your podcasts. Go do it.
I was in New York City. You'll buy this because, you know, you guys are New Yorkers. I was out cold calling with one of my clients, and we were knocking on doors, and we walked in this place, and the guy goes, yeah, the boss is right back here, and walks us back, and we walk through all these hallways, and he opens the door, and we walk out of the door, and he shuts the door behind us, and we're in the alleyway. That's rejection.
That's a classic, by the way.
That.
Do you know the old Fuller Brush people? The Alfred Fuller biography is called A Foot in the Door, mm-hmm. because they used to teach their sales guys to, when the lady opened up the yep. door, stick your foot in so she couldn't slam it.
That's how you stay in the game. That's the, you know.
Exactly. But let me tell you something. They did put their foot in the door.
Yeah.
That was their whole process.
Well,
give me a minute.
Yeah, because that's asking for time. Because if I can get over the threshold,
yeah.
I have an opportunity. That's the difference between prospecting and sales. Sales is asking for time, so you're getting time objections mm-hmm. or prospecting objections. Sales is asking for commitments.
Wow.
And in most sales, it's a series of small commitments to get you there. A foot in the door.
A foot in the door. How
about
Look
that?
At that.
I have a couple. Right, I have actually autographed copies of that up in the library.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to.
Wow.
That's a cool book. I want to dig deep into this. What do you recommend salespeople do if they get a prospecting objection?
Well, with a prospecting objection, you've got to remember that you're playing verbal judo at 100 miles an hour. It's mm-hmm. happening really, really fast, and your brain kicks in ways that it's hard to control. So when you get an objection, it feels like rejection, even though most of the time it's not rejection. Your brain just doesn't make the difference like fit in the way it's dealing with things. It just says, I just got rejected. So
we have people on the other side of the glass that you can't see.
This is a crowd here, so this is pretty good. There's truly an audience at
this point. I wish we could turn the camera so everyone
could
see. We have a lot of people here.
So
hey, guys.
So the key with a prospecting objection is a 3-step turnaround process that begins with a ledge. And all the ledge is something that you say wrote immediately. So if someone says, I'm too busy, I go, that's exactly why I called. I never say anything else. I always say it. I don't have to think about it.
That's exactly why I called.
That's exactly why I called.
I said, I was hoping you were busy.
Yeah, exactly. I was hoping you were busy.
I would start out by saying, are you in the middle of 100 things or 1,000 things?
That's right. But it's something that every time you say, you don't have to think about it, because at the moment that they give you that objection, a little part of your brain called the amygdala senses that they've been threatened with the rejection, and it gets hard to think. So you say exactly what you're going to say. The next thing you want to do is disrupt their pattern. So again, you're a salesperson. They've learned from every salesperson that's called and asked them for time, and they know that you're going to do one of two things. You're going to go, well, is there a better time to call? Or
right.
are you going to go, well, it'll only take 5 minutes. So one of those two things are going to happen. So
yep.
they're either ready for you to fight with them or to give up. Most salespeople give up. So what I want to do is disrupt that pattern and, again, pull them towards me. So I say, that's exactly why I called. Because I figured you would be,
mm-hmm.
and, which is fair, right? They,
yeah,
that's
they're
totally
busy.
Fair.
And all I want to do is find a time that's more convenient for you. Why would I do that? Because when someone says I'm busy, they are busy right now. Well, they're not thinking about being busy on Wednesday, because human beings don't think that way. And, oh, by the way, I interrupted them. So I just use a really simple turnaround. And, by the way, that turnaround, 75% probability or higher.
74.
That you'll get the appointment.
74.
Okay, 74.
Okay, cool.
But you'll get the appointment. So it's all about recognizing in the prospecting, prospect objection, that it's usually harsh. It feels harsh. You're already nervous. You know, some salespeople have the callus and they can just do it over and over and over again. But most normal people have some sensitivity to that type of rejection on the phone. So you've got to have something nailed down, memorized that you use every single time.
That doesn't sound like you're reading a script.
Exactly.
What
and
I
it
love
has
about,
to be authentic. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. What I love about you saying, oh, well, that's exactly why I called, is the salesperson mm-hmm. seems to calm down after saying
yes.
that. Like,
That's
right. You feel more comfortable as a salesperson.
It's what neuroscientists call the magical quarter second, which gives your neocortex the ability to gain executive control over the emotional brain, the limbic system. That little bit of time gives you the ability to think. And if you can think, then you can roll through the rest of it without sounding like,
yeah.
Because what happens.
Well, no one's ever told me they were busy before.
Exactly. Well, that's the other problem.
And by the way, you can say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's truth in that because there's so many salespeople who they treat every objection as if it's some random event. And on prospecting objections in particular, there's only 15 or so max that you're going to get,
yep.
and five of them
right.
you're getting most of the time.
Yep.
So you can plan for every one of them. Now, with a buying commitment objection, I'm asking you to buy from me, unless I'm in purely transactional sales. Let's say I'm selling Fuller brushes door to door. Those objections to buying are going to be much more like prospecting objections. But as you move upscale, so as you move into the short cycle, mid cycle, long cycle deals, more complexity, your objections are much more nuanced. They're more unique. So the way that you deal with those objections is going to be different than I'm just asking for time. And the way I look at time is, and I know this drives people crazy when I say that there's no nuance in asking for time. Ask for time. Can I meet with you? And you're going to get some people are going to tell you no, some people are going to say yes, but you got to ask for time. Once you are in the deal, now I'm asking for micro commitments. I'm asking you to take a series of steps with me that over time builds the case for doing business with me. And there's a lot of – and I deal with these in Sales EQ, but there's a lot of psychological reasons I want people making one step after another, after another, after another, part of which is something called the IKEA effect. You ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
You walk around the store and you pay money
and you
wait in line for a long time.
Cart.
No, it's something that – we know it to be true. Like anything that you invest in, you value more.
Yeah.
If you get it for free, you don't value it. And these neuroscientists were studying – these guys were at Stanford, I think, and they were studying these people that bought IKEA furniture versus went to upscale furniture stores where the furniture was already put together. And it turned out the people who bought the cheaper IKEA furniture that they put together were more satisfied with their purchase.
Yeah, it's so satisfying putting that stuff together. I love it. It's
right.
Like Legos for adults.
It is, except for the person who drew the picture of you for you to put it together never put
horrible.
The thing together.
Yeah.
But because they're investing. So micro commitment objections come when people don't see value of moving to the next step with you. And they're a really good sign that maybe your prospect isn't engaged, maybe your message isn't right. They're a clue to the salesperson, if you're mm-hmm. getting that something's wrong and you need to fix it, your deal's going to stall. So at the same time, by getting them to make those commitments to go to the next step with me, little
yeah.
at a time, they become more invested, which means that there's a higher probability, a higher outcome, or higher likelihood that they will see it through to an outcome.
I found that the longer the sales cycle goes, the easier it is to overcome the objection.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That if
the
you,
more invested
because,
they're
yeah.
becoming.
One of the reasons
it.
Is because if you, the longer the sales cycle goes, the more provocative questions you're asking, the more you put things on the
yep.
table, the more you're transparent. And there's objections that come up that are truly objections, but you're dealing with them in the moment
mm-hmm.
one at a time versus at this place where you're closing the deal and I say sign here and you go, well, I need to think about it. That's a lot harder objection to deal with than, you know, three meetings earlier when they said, you know, one of the things I'm worried about is how my boss would perceive us spending a little bit more money on budget. How would I justify that? Now I have time to build my case and
yeah.
set my, you know, so it's an objection, but not an objection. It's a collaboration.
So this is funny. Wes says, good afternoon. I needed this book back in my single days. Talk about objections.
Right.
It is a dating. It does,
hey, Wes.
It does cross over as dating books.
Men understand rejection
yes.
way better than women. High
yes.
school, backseat of a car. You were willing to go through 100 no's to get through a yes.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, but let me just throw this at you. When the person says, I want to think about it at the very beginning, mm-hmm. that's a tough one to overcome. But if they say, I need more time mm-hmm. when you ask them for the sale, that's a genuine objection.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you can ask, how can I help you with that time? Or how can I help you buy some of your time? Now you're going to get the real objection.
Yes.
Oftentimes, the objection given is not the real objection.
Well, it's the problem is that people don't know how to give you objections. They didn't go to objection school.
Right.
What,
mm-hmm.
what they went to is Sales University.
Mm-hmm.
And Sales University was taught by all the salespeople that came before you, and all that baggage is still there. So we're just like anything else. Buyers have a script, and they learn the script from salespeople. So they say what they think. They say what they what the way they would say it, their language, or they say what they want you to hear, or they say what they think will make you go away. And it works most of the time. And that goes back to being disruptive. It also goes back to making sure that you're dealing with the right thing. So when someone says, say, you know, I need more time, my first question is, how do you mean? It's one of my favorite questions in the world. I think it's an old Zig Ziglar question. I think he may have said it to me. So I say, how do you mean, or how so? Because I don't want to dive in to anything that someone says until I at least understand what they mean by that. Because sometimes, for example, we had a deal where we were buying a piece of software and we gave the guy an objection. We said it just costs too much. And he jumped right into the subscription price, and that really wasn't what our issue was. It was we didn't want to pay the professional services fee.
Jeb, thank you for being on our show.
Thank you.
Jeb is incredible. Everyone needs to go on Amazon.com and get Objections by Jeb Blunt. You can pre-order it right now.
I would recommend you get all of his books. I mean, he's a worthwhile read because he's a smart writer. And Fanatical Prospecting is probably now his benchmark book. And
Sales EQ is fantastic
Sales
as well.
EQ,
oh,
yep.
Without a doubt.
They have a special. If you scroll down to the bottom of his Objections page, you can actually get all three.
Okay, so here's a real story. I'm reading the book right now. It's on my bedstand. And he's like walking through our house and he sees his book on my bedstand.
It was so
and,
funny. He's and like, started let me take a picture of that.
Totally cool.
Pretty funny.
But he's a thinker.
But that's
a true
story.
That Sales EQ book is not for everybody.
No.
It's certainly not for beginning sales.
If you're an idiot, don't buy it.
Yeah. If you can't read well, this is not a book for you, but it is a thinker's sales book. That's number one. Number two, Jeb has bridged a major gap and barrier in the sales world. Because he's a communicator. He's a real good hands-on communicator that says, pick up the damn phone, make a bunch of phone calls, and if somebody gets in your way, here's what to do and here's what to say.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gone from fanatical prospecting to fanatical objection handling. And he calls it objections. I'm okay with that. But really, it's a barrier. And you have to separate what's a real objection to what's a stall. Like we've spent our whole budget. That's a stall. What they're saying is I don't really feel that the value of what you're presenting to me is worth it for me to go forward or to go to my boss to try to get more money. And I wouldn't go to that person anyway.
What if you're speaking to the boss?
I don't want – well, here's the deal. The person who makes the budget is way different from the person who spends the budget.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to the person who makes the budget. That's my decision maker.
So in that interview, we talked a lot about the common objections that people face and the uncommon strategies that you can use to tackle those objections. Now, I'd love to hear the uncommon objections that you have experienced in your sales life.
Early in my career, I gave a speech to... Once upon a time, I was giving a speech to a bunch of people in the textile screen printing business because I was a million-dollar seller in that. And I asked the audience impromptu, what is your worst objection? And some guy stands up in the back of the room and says, I'm selling my business and I don't really want to. He was trying to sell the guy T-shirts and he said, why should I buy? I'm selling my business. I'm like, dude, that's the most obvious thing you possibly could say. If you want to sell your business, you want to get the best price for it, correct? Why not have all kinds of things to show the buyer that you're successful at it and all kinds of promotional items and give them a T-shirt to take a tour? And the guy goes, that's a great idea. And he went back. Listen, he went back and made the sale. It was before email, so I don't have a right. But the guy called me on the phone literally to thank me. He made the sale.
That's pretty cool. I haven't heard most of the objections I hear are standard. And they're
like,
all...
get the hell out of here?
No, like your price is too high. I don't have the budget. I don't have the time. I'm not making a decision right now. We're going to stick with our current vendor. I mean, it's... there.
Yeah. What everyone is saying is that you have not conveyed enough value for me to ditch what I'm doing and go with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. The risk is not outweighing the reward.
I think the hardest thing for a salesperson, though, when they do get an objection, is not only knowing the right thing to say or how to respond, but how they can react in an unemotional way. Because keeping the emotions out of your response is going to be key. And most people feel personally rejected when they hear an objection.
Yeah, that the old Zig Ziglar quote is that they're not rejecting you, they're just rejecting the offer that you're making them. But my feeling is, I always add humor. I think that if you can make a person laugh at an objection, for example, the guy says your price is too high, I would say, my price is too high? I never heard that before. And that way it just throws them off just a little bit, that I can at least get them into dialogue, honest dialogue, because I don't want to lower my price. I want to say our prices are fair and our prices are firm and just go from there. So here's what to do, diehards. Thank you very much for being our diehard member. If you have not downloaded Overcast, please go do it. Please like us all over the place so we can get back to number one. We're currently two or three or something because NPR is putting their crap up there and people like it. And so the prairie dog, whatever their thing is...
The prairie dog. Just go subscribe, rate, and review our show, Cellar and I, on Overcast, Stitcher, iTunes, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Drink a cup of Death Wish coffee. Keep yourself awake at night. Prepare for your sales calls the next day. Come to our seminars in Charlotte and Des Moines.
And go have a great week.
An unbelievable week. Make a lot of money. We appreciate you a ton. Tell your friends.
Until next time. I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off. Sell or diehards, attention. If you love the show, make sure you have subscribed to the show.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes and give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend, tell both your friends about the best sales podcast on the planet.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true seller diehard, and we thank you.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.